Welcome to the podcast series Traveling Concepts on Air, hosted by myself, Tessa Diporn,
and Brianne McGonigal-Lai.
We both work at Utrecht University.
I am a legal scholar and she is an anthropologist.
And we're both part of the Contesting Governance research platform within the Institutions for Open Societies.
In this podcast series, we want to critically question the promise and ideal of interdisciplinarity by focusing on traveling concepts.
Traveling concepts refers to concepts that travel within and across disciplines.
Do such concepts encourage and enhance interdisciplinarity?
Or do they create confusion and perhaps even obstruct collaboration?
These are some of the questions we want to discuss. Welcome, everybody. This is our kickoff session where we are going to tell you why we started this podcast series and what we want to do with it. We will discuss what traveling concepts are and why we think it's interesting to look at them and to discuss them. We hope it will be useful to researchers, teachers, and students engaging in interdisciplinary work. So I think one of the starting points here is the focus within universities on interdisciplinary work. Do you agree, Tessa?
Yeah, I think so. So interdisciplinarity, broadly speaking, of course, refers to the collaboration or coming together of different disciplines to produce new or different types of knowledge. And we both experience that interdisciplinarity is heavily promoted in academia. It's often seen as the way forward for creative, innovative, and exciting ideas. And you can clearly see this in the range of funding calls where it's increasingly promoted to have scholars from different disciplines work together on the same project. And I think Brianne and I think we can safely say that we both consider ourselves to be interdisciplinary in our work to a certain degree, which we'll discuss later. But we also both sometimes experience, I guess, blockages in our collaborations with people from different disciplines, and maybe at times find it difficult to exchange ideas due to just very different fundamental starting points or very different ideas about what certain things mean. So what does a concept actually entail? And this is kind of where this whole idea of traveling concepts come in.
Exactly. So traveling concepts refers to concepts that travel within or across disciplines. And we are interested in understanding and analyzing how such concepts travel, how they change by traveling, and whether they morph into new ideas, and to what extent the different ways of using such concepts overlap, are complementary, or contradictory. The notion of transformation, for me, is a really nice example, and I'll get into that later. By focusing on traveling concepts, we want to unravel whether concepts become richer in meaning as they travel, and how, through the lens of different disciplines, such concepts can inspire new perspectives and approaches. Do such concepts encourage and enhance interdisciplinarity? Do they act as bridges between scholars? Or do they create confusion and perhaps even obstruct collaboration? These are some of the questions we aim to address with our guests.
Yeah, exactly. But I think it's also really important to point out that, I mean, some concepts perhaps don't travel, or we assume that they don't travel. And so we could have a concept that's used in different disciplines, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily move across disciplines and acquire different meanings, right? So I think, why don't some concepts travel while others do? And so I think these are some of the questions we hope to ask, and generally to have broader interdisciplinary dialogues and try to delve into some of these issues. So how are we going to do this? We're going to do this by hosting monthly podcast sessions wherein we will invite guest speakers to come on our show and unpack various concepts such as violence or citizenship, describe how they're used in their respective disciplines, and then discuss what this entails for interdisciplinary scholarship. But before we get into a little bit more about what traveling concepts are and give you some examples, maybe it's nice if we introduce ourselves a little bit more to explain how we met and how this podcast series emerged.
Great idea. So my name, again, is Brianne, and I am an associate professor at the Department of International and European Law here at Utrecht University. I specialize in human rights and global justice, with a specific focus on transitional justice, international criminal law, victims' rights, and the investigation and documentation of serious crimes. Now, I define myself as a legal scholar. I'm also a licensed attorney, but I have a broad liberal arts education and also a master's in international relations. Because of this background, I've always felt really comfortable working in different disciplines. I often engage with material and methods not associated with traditional legal research. Some of the disciplines that I have used in the past are anthropology, criminology, victimology, governance, and international relations. I really enjoy looking at concepts in law from different disciplinary perspectives and seeing whether the new perspectives are useful for my normative legal analysis. I'm also a member of the Utrecht Young Academy.
Yay!
Which is a collaborative platform of young academics from across the university, where we have a lot of discussions about interdisciplinary research and teaching. And this is where Tessa and I first met.
Yeah, I think we should definitely give credit to the Utrecht Young Academy, also known as OUYA, for bringing us together. And since then, we've worked together on a lot of issues, which you can find more about on our Contesting Governance Research Platform website. But more about me. As I mentioned earlier, my name is Tessa. I'm an assistant professor at the Department of Cultural Anthropology, and I focus on broader issues of security and policing in South Africa and Kenya. And basically, I'm interested in understanding how people create secure environments for themselves and who do they ascribe the authority to do so. So I'm very much interested in larger ideas of power and authority when it comes to policing. I feel very comfortable in defining myself as an anthropologist, but I also draw from a lot of scholarly work conducted in other fields, such as criminology, geography, and political science. And you can see this also in the way that I publish, which is actually primarily in interdisciplinary journals, such as Policing in Society or Environments and Urbanization. And another one of the ways you can see kind of the interdisciplinarity of my work is that I often use concepts that don't really originally stem from anthropology, such as policing. Policing is primarily a concept from criminology, but it's something that I use a lot in my work. On the other hand, I often introduce certain kind of anthropological approaches and I introduce them to other fields to also highlight how an anthropological perspective and usage of a concept is useful. So I really enjoy kind of engaging in these discussions on how we can learn from each other. And another place where some of my interdisciplinary work comes in, which is the Contesting Governance platform in which this podcast series is embedded in. Yeah. Brianne, do you want to say a little bit more about the platform?
Yeah, so the Contesting Governance Research Platform, it's new, and it's one of the research platforms within the strategic research theme of the university, one of the four, which is Institutions for Open Societies. So this platform brings together researchers from across Utrecht University who share a profound interest in the interdisciplinary exploration of themes at the crossroads of conflict and security, institutions, and human rights. The platform members apply critical perspectives to examine how power is constituted and how it operates across particular institutional and societal fields. We all strive to better understand the conditions that create, safeguard, or endanger open societies. So this podcast series aims to explore how, within the platform, but also beyond it, we as researchers are connected or
disconnected.
Yeah, by certain concepts. Where the overlap occurs, and again, more interestingly, I think, where the divergence occur.
Yeah, where we get a little friction.
So Tessa, do you want to tell us a bit more about traveling concepts?
Yeah, of course. So what are traveling concepts? This is kind of the main thing of this podcast series, so it might be good to kind of lay down the groundwork. So there is actually quite some scholarly literature available on traveling concepts. We won't get into all of that, but for those interested, please look at the website where we'll have a list of references for some further reading. But broadly speaking, and as Brianne mentioned earlier, we use the idea of traveling concepts to refer to concepts that basically travel within and across disciplines. So an often used example is performativity. So it's a concept that primarily originates from linguistic studies, but has traveled to other disciplines such as anthropology and has acquired new meanings and perspectives in this process. And two scholars that really inspire us are Mika Ball and Suzanne Baer, who have long shown that ideas and concepts travel between different academic communities and that this traveling often impacts the meaning, reach, and operational value of the concept. And in understanding how concepts can travel, we can see throughout the literature that various metaphors have emerged. And again, these are just metaphors to kind of show the different ways in which traveling can occur. So there's the idea of transplantation, which kind of has this medical ring to it, where it's where one concept is literally taken and then transplanted into a new discipline or a subfield or context, and which can then in turn, like the body, can be accepted or rejected.
Yeah, another metaphor is migration. So this is where ideas travel through communication, sharing, and where they take up a place where they did not originate. So migration can be informal or unofficial, and as in life, is very contested.
Yeah. Another thing is the idea of absorption. So maybe where an idea is fully kind of taken in or soaked up by one discipline from another and becomes kind of fully part of the new discipline.
And another metaphor is around norm diffusion or conflict diffusion. And these diffusion theories show that travel occurs through networks of people or institutional structures and advocacy strategies known as knowledge sharing. These are all different metaphors that can be used to highlight how traveling occurs in different ways. And they all have their limitations, but what we will be doing during the series is listening to our guests to see what types of metaphors, if any, they use to help explain the traveling concepts that we're discussing.
Yeah, exactly. So in this podcast series, we want to see whether we can identify some of these modes of traveling, but particularly reflect on what happens when traveling occurs. And we want to understand whether such concepts allow people to speak across disciplines or whether the usage of the same concept with different meanings results in confusion. So basically, can I, as an anthropologist, communicate with a human rights lawyer about certain issues precisely due to a traveling concept, or do we find ourselves constantly having to explain ourselves? And perhaps this becomes even more complicated when I speak to perhaps somebody from physics or from geosciences. So what we want to do now, maybe just to give you guys a little bit of a teaser, is to give two brief examples to show the type of the discussions that we're going to be having in the rest of the episodes that follow. Do you maybe want to kick this off?
Yeah. So I want to focus on a concept that has traveled within law, but also outside of law to different fields. So a concept that really interests me is transformation. Transformation first came about within human rights law in the form of transformative equality. So this concept arose within the framework of women's rights and calls to move beyond formal equality and substantive equality to something more transformative. Namely, something that transformed the structures of inequality and not just individual experiences. And this notion of transformative equality traveled from the field of women's rights to disability rights, but also beyond to post-conflict peace-building field and the transitional justice field. Now, in the transitional justice field, which in itself is an interdisciplinary field, the concept of transformation is used to signal also desires for fundamental structural changes. So this is similar to how it was used for transformative equality, but it's also taken on new meanings, focusing on socioeconomic concerns, participation structures, and also non-legal processes. So specifically in the area of reparations for victims of serious human rights violations, a major shift has taken place over the last 10 to 15 years with the usage of this concept of transformation. So we now speak about transformative reparations for victims rather than, you know, comprehensive or traditional reparations. And the ideas around transformative reparations really brought in a new way to think about redressing the harm suffered by victims, to look at the structural causes, to look at socioeconomic concerns, participation, et cetera. And this really had a huge impact on the field, and not just related specifically to reparations, but for a number of scholars calling for transitional justice to change into transformative justice, you know, calling for bigger structural change. So what about you, Tessa? Can you give an example of a traveling concept from your own work?
I guess the example that I'd like to give is that on sovereignty, which is a concept that largely originates from political science and humanitarian law, and primarily drawing from the famous Thomas Hobbes and his whole notion of the Leviathan, sovereignty refers to the legal authority of the state. Now, we hope to host a session on sovereignty one day, so maybe we can get into the nitty-gritty of it then. But basically, based on the principles of international law, it is a state, the sovereign, that has a legitimate authority to govern over those who reside within a specific territory. Now, in anthropology in the 1990s, we can see that many anthropologists started to use sovereignty in order to understand the ways in which various actors not associated with the state were deploying violence and contesting the legitimacy and authority of the state. So sovereignty, in other words, was used to describe how violence and authority were exercised by non-state actors. So we had kind of non-state forms of sovereignty, so to speak. And actors such as gangs or insurgent movements or large corporations were regarded as sovereign actors. And on the Contesting Governance Platform website, you can find a list of some of the really great work that's been done in anthropology who use this concept in very diverse ways as well. And in my own work, sovereignty has been a really useful example to analyze the policing practice of armed private security officers in South Africa. and it's allowed me to really grasp the various ways in which private security companies and the state negotiate, compete, and collaborate over power, and what also the kind of the political and social consequences of this are. Actually, my approach to sovereignty has allowed me to contribute to certain debates within geography and criminology. So something that kind of came outside anthropology, came into anthropology, developed, and has then also kind of traveled towards other disciplines. So I think it's a really great example. But I also know that the concept hasn't really traveled back to law. And this is great about having a legal scholar within this group, is that, I mean, Brian, how do you think that someone from international law would think about the anthropological approach to sovereignty that, yeah, that kind of moves beyond this idea of the state as the sole sovereign?
Yeah, well, in many ways, it is a bit problematic. I mean, in international law, the sovereign state has specific duties, and failing to uphold those duties has legal consequences. So to refer to private security companies or gangs as sovereign entities without examining whether they have certain characteristics, such as control over territory, or whether they take on state-like functions, seems to us rather messy, precisely because the notion of sovereignty carries with it particular legal implications.
Yeah.
I guess that this example of sovereignty shows that traveling can have benefits from some disciplines, but can potentially create problems in others. And this is evident in law, for instance, when concepts move beyond national boundaries, different legal jurisdictions, or geographic and social contexts. This is also the case for the term transformation, which I discussed. It has traveled so much that currently, it's being used almost as a buzzword, and its application does not at all do justice to what it originally stood for in many cases. So yeah, I mean, traveling can have different trajectories, making it all the more worthwhile, I think, to explore further.
Yeah, exactly. And that's exactly what we're going to be doing here. So I'm really excited. I know Brianna's as well.
Yes.
And I hope our listeners are out there too, and that you guys have, you know, with this introductory session, we've got you guys enticed and eager to keep listening to us every month. So again, this was our kickoff session. And in the next sessions that follow, we're going to be focusing on one concept per session. And we're going to be inviting speakers, hopefully from very different disciplines, to discuss a concept, to show how they use it. We hope to really kind of have a discussion about what this concept means. And, you know, I would like a situation where we're not all agreeing with each other all the time, but we hope to also see where there's friction and where there's, you know, very different ideas about these concepts.
Yes.
I hope we can kind of, yeah, get some really provocative discussions going on here too. That would be good. So I think the last part, if you guys have a concept you think, okay, I would love for people to speak about that, or you know somebody who would be ideal, definitely drop us a line and let us know. So yeah, thanks for joining us, and we hope to speak to you very, very soon.
Thanks for joining us for this session of Traveling Concepts on Air.
For more information, please visit Utrecht University's Contesting Governance Platform website.
If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, email us at contestinggovernance@uu.nl.
Please subscribe and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
And more importantly, spread the word with your colleagues and friends. Till next time.